Guys, thanks for tuning in to Vanishing Point, where we talk about all things related to theme, at least for this particular, season. One housekeeping note in the beginning, I keep referring to this as a blog, and it's actually a podcast. Oh my God, man. How can you tell I'm a dad, right? So, I want to continue along the trunk of talking about my observations on theme. But today's episode's a little bit of a segue just because of some incidents that have happened this week. It's kind of relevant. Sort of made me think about it. So I want to talk a little bit about sort of Jung and Jungian stereotypes in terms of narrative and character development. But mostly in terms of redefining Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. Well, not really redefining, because there's a lot going on in sort of those Jungian archetypes and how they've developed socially, culturally, even biologically. So there's no real redefinition required. It's more kind of looking for the deeper meaning and its applicability in the modern age. So here's the thing, right? We have a rise in superhero movies, and it's gone surprisingly fast. You know, at a time when Iron Man was first struggling to be made, and the Spider-Man property was bouncing back and forth for a little while, we've now reached over 10 years now of superhero movies, to the point where production companies are now investing largely in complex story worlds so they can develop these franchises and approaching existing properties. The whole face of Hollywood has changed, and the whole modus operandi has sort of changed over the last decade or so. Now, this is kind of interesting because superhero mythology is sort of steeped in that type of Joseph Campbell hero's journey sort of thing. You know, I'm not taking away anything from superhero movies. They're wonderful, still wonderful explorations of human behavior with quite a few insights into how we deal with our emotional lives. But it is one flavor of storytelling, and it seems to have the bandwidth for storytelling seems to have narrowed somewhat. So it's interesting because if we take a step back and look at our world today in terms of socio-political dynamics, we can take look at everything from Brexit and Trump. Don't worry, I'm not going to dive into it. It's been discussed to death in other areas of the internet. But it's curious to me, this sort of sense of identity loss in predominantly young male culture, right? And I think the turbulent times that we are facing are some kind of indication of a repercussion of that. Not in any kind of a negative sense per se, because I think, chaos is part of the evolutionary process. I'm not a firm believer on turning back the clock, because I don't think it's possible. Once a genie's out of a bottle, it's out of a bottle. But we have to cope with what we have on our table, right? And I think some of the issues are, well, to put it in the simplest terms, guys are having trouble figuring out how to be guys these days. And that's why they gravitate towards such radical thinking. It could be anything from neo-Nazism on the far right to ISIS, where our young men are traveling to foreign lands so they can fight wars, which to me is insane. It's just insane. But there are reasons for it. And if we can unpack those reasons, we can perhaps get at the core of what's causing this psychopathy. And I think that there are a few things that young guys need in their lives, right? I think having difficulty understanding how they fit in a hierarchical structure, you know, is sort of difficult, because oftentimes young men like to frame it in terms of ambition and reputation, you know, and leaving their mark. I shouldn't say young men. I think a lot of young people do. They want to leave their mark. But here's the thing. We have to deal with certain issues that I think are predominantly male. I'm not saying all men are predominantly male. That is human aggression that leads to violence, that could lead to death, whether external death or the death of oneself. Because there are some alarming statistics that are on the rise, not only in terrorist actions and lone wolf activities, but also in male depression and suicide. Well, stats are rising, so something is up, guys. And I'd like to try to figure out what it is. Now, my perspective is very myopic. I'm looking out my back garden window into a very small backyard, so by no means am I trying to sell this as a be-all, end-all solution. It's just a point of discussion. It's me sitting back going, I wonder, what if, and weighing some facts. So how did I get on to this particular topic? Well, you know, I'm a dad of two young boys, and just recently, my oldest had an incident of bullying. So this was what made me think very, very deeply about how we need to move forward as progressives, right? Not as progressives, as all people, really. How do we kind of encompass the changing face of our society when perhaps some of the old rules of dominance apply? There's one thing to kind of be analytical and educated about things, but it's a whole thing, a whole different thing altogether when you look at some of the natural tendencies in the schoolyard. Now, obviously, a lot of the tendencies in the schoolyard can creep towards more kind of primal ways of doing things. And this is where education steps in and say, look, you know, there are ways that we wish we could behave, and there are ways we need to sort of understand what kind of a cog or a gear we are in society, you know, to a certain degree. But that sort of complexity, that sort of higher level thinking, may not be readily available to a bunch of 10-year-olds. So we have a situation where my kid is being threatened with a fist fight the next time he shows up at school. And he's not kind of concerned about the bully doing the threatening. You know, he could probably, well, him and I talked about it, and he can easily take him. What he's concerned about is the bully's crew. And that's understandable, right? One-on-one, no problem. My kid will step in there for a one-on-one situation, not a big deal. Five-on-one, that's too much to ask anybody. So, yeah, he was afraid to go to school. So then I'm sitting back here going, what advice do I give as a dad? Because this is a critical moment in my son's development. There has to be a balance between sort of gentler, more academic attitudes, but an understanding of not being dominated. You know, this is where my whole examination of Jungian archetypes and, you know, the hero's journey comes into play, because Not to try to sum up Jung in a single sentence, which is impossible, but there's the prevailing kind of ethos of dominate or be dominated. Or even if you take a look at Nietzsche, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. You know, that sort of very, very alpha way of thinking. So how do you balance that? Because I don't necessarily believe that that is something that needs to be repressed. I think there needs to be a balance struck between being strong and being intelligent. So here we are. What do I tell them? Well, first of all, I told them to show no fear, right? And those guys can't control your life. You can't live in fear, right? And not to hide from these guys. And to show confidence. I also prepared them because, all right, let's face it, right? Here's the thing. The universally accepted advice is to ignore the bully and walk away, right? The bully will lose their power. Yeah, that might be the case. 90% of the time, maybe 75% of the time, that might be the case. But if somebody's going to fight you, they're going to fight you. And if a fight happens, fists are going to be thrown. So what do you do then? Well, I told my kid I was perfectly okay with counterpunching. Right? Just don't be the first to throw down. Because here's the thing. It's a very, very dangerous moment where the bullied can become a thug quite easily if they don't learn how to keep their emotions in check and to kind of assess the situation. I also told them, you know, make sure you give yourself some openings to get out of there, right? The best advice is to have one or two buddies and say, come on, let's get out of here. Because when two people leave a situation, it's less likely the situation will be exacerbated. Now, I say less likely because we all know the truth. If a fight's going to happen, a fight's going to happen. You can turn your back on a bully, and they'll smack you in the back of the head. They'll trip you. They'll take you down. It's been known to happen. It has happened. So there has to be some sort of physical response. Or at the very least, well, a physical threat is hanging over the whole altercation anyway. Wow, this is going to be a controversial topic, I think. You guys got to remember, I had to think on my feet. So there wasn't really time for me to take a look at the bullying issue from all sides. And of course, when a parent is put on the spot, they think only of protecting their own kid. So yeah. I'm going to say, if you have to, do what you got to do to get out of that situation. Not the best advice, but I'll tell you, my son came up with a brilliant response at the moment. It's unbelievable. And it really, really ties into what I want to try to talk about today. So my son goes to school, and yeah, the confrontation happens. The bully comes up to him, faces him off. He's got his crew of like four guys behind him, right? And the bully starts throwing punches. And my kid just takes it. Goes, what? That all you got? Holy cow! Did the tables turn on the bully? Oh my God! His crew started laughing at him. And my son took more punches and said, I'm not feeling a thing here. I'm getting bored. And the bully's own crew told my son he was hard. Well, of course, the bully backpedaled and said he's just joke sparring, or I don't know what he said. It's just, I'm just messing with you, that kind of thing. Boy, that was a big backpedal, hey? So inadvertently, on his own, my son found the Gandhi solution. Amazing. You know? So I think going back to this whole idea of young, let me talk a little bit about toughness. This is what I have seen, and it's related to this whole ethos that's driving narrative and the hero's journey, right? something that I've seen happen with the definition of toughness over the last 5 years or so, right? When people say they have to make decisions that will cause suffering for others, their justification for it is, we have to be tough. We got to look out for our own. We have to be tough. Right? We can't let compassion color our thoughts. We have to be tough. Tough love. You know, and I remembered from my son's story, I remembered back to when I was young. The toughest guys that I ever met at the bar were guys who could take a beating and not even flinch. They could take an enormous amount of pain and stand back up again. That was tough. And when we saw those guys do that, take an unbelievable beating and get back up on their feet, there was a mixture of fear and respect. So when I was younger, being tough meant you could withstand anything and still do the right thing. When did that change? When did tough become about a lack of compassion and causing suffering to other people? Back in my day, I'd call that cruelty. I don't know, guys. I do understand this need for defining what is tough. And I think perhaps we need to supply some form of definition of what that is. Otherwise, young men with no answers and no guidance will find solutions of their own on the far right and the far left. Oftentimes, when people were lost and they couldn't define themselves in the context of their suffering and their feelings of aggression, they would turn to religion. Right? There's a reason why religion of many and all faiths around the world are so powerful in the way it guides people. Because not only does it provide answers, it provides an outlet. And we have progressively cut that off. Don't get me wrong. I've always favored science over religion. And I'm very much sort of a research-based, analytical type of person. But that's not what religion is about. The belief in God is not about a belief in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. It's a way of life. And once that door closes, people will look for answers in other places, in other ways. And this is what's frightening. Now again, reiterating what I stated at the top of this, is that, you know, I don't believe in stepping backwards. You know, we need to evolve, and evolve means change, and that change oftentimes comes through chaos. So I don't necessarily think resurrecting religion is the right way to go. There's too many people out there who have too many questions. So what's the way forward? Well, obviously, being sort of a storytelling podcast, I believe the mantle rests with us. Because, let's face it, the rise in superhero movies is a rise in modern-day mythology, which we all kind of know about. It provides us gods and monsters. But mythology, centered around religion and philosophy, and served as a guiding light as to how to live our moral lives. What we are doing in terms of creating narratives for the world to consume. We are the shining beacon on the hill. We are the ones that are providing that sort of, hey, this is how you can maneuver through that confusing, chaotic conundrum called life. I won't give you the life raft, but maybe I'll give you an oar. Something like that. So, in a way, my son found his own definition of being a man. One that I'm very, very pleased with. He showed his bravery. He showed his courage. He stood in the face of violence. He took the pain. He walked away proud. And it was a very progressive, non-violent solution to a potentially violent powder keg. Maybe going forward, we really, really, really need to define or redefine what it means to be a man. I don't know. Just saying. Okay, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I did touch on a little bit of controversy in today's podcast, but I think it's quite important. The jury is still out for me on my opinions of that. And life is a constant learning journey. I'm constantly learning. The best beliefs that you can hold are ones that stand up to your own scrutiny. So therefore, challenge what you believe every single day. The more it weathers the tempest of your own questions, the stronger they will become. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.